I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Idam Dute Guyatamam Pravakshamanu Shuyave Jnanam Vijnana Saitam Yash Gyatva Moksha Se Shubhat. Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. I guess all of us would like to be relieved of the miseries of material existence, so here Krishna will tell us how to do it. So anyone who wants to suffer in material existence, please leave now. Otherwise, we may get knowledge that we're not asking for. Purport. As the devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The messages of the personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars for his realized knowledge. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Supreme Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives them the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna, the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, and if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this 9th chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, is more or less an introduction to the rest of this book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to devotional service, and because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they are called more confidential. But the matters which are described in the 9th chapter deal with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of eternal existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, that anyone who is engaged in that way is a liberated person. Now, this first verse has specific significance. The words idam jnanam, this knowledge, refers to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, he can understand this science of Krishna. Simply to understand that the living entity is not material, but is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization. For one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body. In the 7th chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different energies, the inferior and superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated. The Sanskrit word anusuyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately, because they are envious of Krishna. The commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by the devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. Such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. So the verse again, idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anu suyave yana vigana sahitam yajgyatva moksha se shubhat. Supreme Lord said, because you are never envious of me, Arjuna, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Namam Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskadyade Zadarne. In the material world, it's not difficult to be envious, because as soon as we're envious of Krishna, then we're envious of everyone, even our own selves. Because after all, Krishna claims he's everywhere. But not only he's everywhere, but he's unlimitedly opulent everywhere. As it says by Parasara Muni, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashvashastriyaha Jnana Vairagyas Chaiva Shana Bhaga Itingana. That Krishna is full in all opulences, all beauty, all wealth, all fame, all strength, all knowledge, and all renunciation. So, if we're envious of someone who's a little bit more beautiful than we are, then how much more will we be envious of someone who has unlimited beauty? If we're envious of someone who has more wealth than we do, what to speak of the person who owns everything? How much more envious we'll be of that person? He may be a very nice person, and he may be a very generous person, but still, due to the nature of material existence, we become envious of anyone who's better than we are, and what to speak of unlimitedly better than we are. Therefore, part of the process of devotional service is to become free from envy. Now, the worst kind of envy is enviousness of the devotees. Because of our nature or our material conceptions of life, therefore we think of higher and lower. After all, the spirit soul is, according to Bhagavad Gita, is not very big. We're only 1/10,000th the size of Tipiharan size, which is not extremely big. As I said before, the only big thing about us is our false ego. How much we think we're big. Well, actually, we're all equal, eternally. Now, in our material existence, we're in bodies that are being governed or manifested by the material energy, and they appear in different modes of nature. Some of them are higher, and some bodies are lower. Some are more in the mode of goodness, and some in their mode of passion, and some in the mode of ignorance. But after all, the soul, no matter what body he's in, he doesn't change. The only thing that changes is external covering. Therefore, if we identify the soul with the external covering, we miss the actual real person within the body, and therefore we think someone is higher and someone is lower. Indeed, they may be in a higher or lower body, but that doesn't make them higher or lower. In the sense that if you're driving a Rolls Royce, and one day, and the next day you're driving a Volkswagen, it doesn't mean you become degraded because of the different car that you're driving. Now, of course, the living entities in this mature world, including ourselves, were bewildered by ignorance to different degrees. And therefore, in one sense, it is a degradation, but it doesn't spoil our real identity. Now, in devotional service, we're supposed to see things properly. Vidya, Vinayas, Vai. Tad Buddhyas, Tad Atmanas, Tad Nishtas, Tad Parayanaha, Kachatnya Pana Arvitim, Gyananir Dutta Kalmashaha. That one's intelligence, one's faith, one's mind, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, that one becomes cleansed by complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. So our first business is to become cleansed by utilizing our intelligence, especially. See things properly, as Prabhupada writes in this book. Our first business is to see things properly. Because if we don't see things properly, then how can we act properly? It won't be possible. I didn't mean to offend you. Maybe he sees things properly, I don't know. So our first business is to see through the eyes of Scripture. Because unless we see through the eyes of Scripture, we can't really see. And if we can't see, we don't know where to go, what to do. So, tad buddhiyas tad atmanas. Now, atmanas means faith. Most of the things we can't see, because we're blind. We can't even see the back of our head, what to speak of most things in front of us. So if we think we're seeing with perfect knowledge, atmanas means the mind. So first is intelligence, and we should see things clearly with the mind. If the mind is full of material desires and anxieties, etc. Just like the example we read the other day in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you think when you're walking along, if you think you see a snake, then you become afraid. But when you find out that it's not a snake, it's a rope, then you're not afraid anymore. So similarly, we look at the material world like a snake, always worried about the dangers that lie ahead for us. But actually, there is no danger for the soul. And the person running the entire show is Krishna, who's our best friend. And everything he does is ultimately for our benefit. So our fears and anxieties are just a waste of time. It's due to not seeing things properly. And when we see things properly and understand that the whole world is actually Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole world is full of happiness. And everything is auspicious if we take it in the right way. For instance, if someone is trying to wake us up and they shake us because there is some danger and we think the person trying to wake us up is attacking us and we hit them, then it's just because we don't understand that they're trying to help us by shaking us. Similarly, due to our attachment to the material energy, we think good and bad in relation to this body, and therefore sometimes when something bad, some so-called bad happens to us, we think that we're being unfairly treated. Just like if you put your hand in the fire and it burns, naturally the burning of the fire is meant to educate us. It's not good to put your hand in the fire. Now if you don't have the sensitivity to understand, to experience the fire is burning your hand, you just leave it there. And the result is it gets burned. So feeling discomfort in the material world due to our past activities is actually good. It's most supposed to teach us not to do the wrong thing so we don't feel discomfort anymore. Discomfort is not rising arbitrarily or by accident. It's arising because of what we've done in the past. and the discomfort is supposed to help us avoid doing the same thing in the future. Now, if we look at others who are in difficulty, or even it says here our enemy, whoever it might be, and we look at them as good or bad, it's because we're not situated properly ourselves. In other words, nothing can happen to anyone unless Krishna wills it. And we sometimes get reactions to our past deeds, not out of Krishna not liking us or trying to mistreat us, but to remind us not to do the wrong thing, to educate us. Therefore, one who's actually fully engaged with his body, mind, words, intel, and faith, and refuge in Krishna consciousness, then he's actually apart from the material body. His experience is not governed by his material circumstances, it's governed by his experience of Krishna consciousness. And therefore he's not disturbed by either gain or loss in the material world, because that has no significance to one who actually has the highest gain, being conscious of Krishna. If you have 100 billion euros, you're not really so much concerned whether you gain or lose 5 or 10 euros. So, one who's actually fully engaged in Krishna's service, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. He sees everyone equally. The learned and gentle Brahmin, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. He sees with an equal mind. Because ultimately he understands that we're all spiritual beings. And especially for the devotees who are engaged in devotional service, that they're on an auspicious path of eventually going back to the spiritual world. Maybe today, maybe next year, maybe in some lifetimes from now. But ultimately, we all wind up back in the spiritual world with our relationship with Krishna. We have relations with others, but first our relationship with Krishna. So one who's trying to revive his relationship with Krishna, then automatically his proper relationship with everyone else will be revived. Therefore, there's no sense of being either critical or overly thinking that someone's better than someone else. Of course, some people are better, more advanced than others. We should know that. But we should know that ultimately, everyone who follows this path, either by hearing from others who are superior, we shouldn't think that if someone is superior, then we have to compete against them so we can come to, you know, become better than they are. Or if someone is equal to us, then we should compete with them to become better than them. And if someone is inferior to us in devotional service, we should worry about them surpassing us, taking our position. No, the ultimate goal is not any material position. The ultimate goal is our relation with Krishna. And everyone has that relationship with eternally. The only question is when we're going to revive it and become properly situated. So those who are superior, they can help us revive our relationship with Krishna, and therefore we should serve them and appreciate them. Those who are on the same level, they can also help us revive our relationship with Krishna by giving us proper feedback, trying to help us improve our devotional service by giving us honest feedback and by assisting us in our attempts to become Krishna conscious. And those who are inferior, the less advanced, less experienced, they also help us because they give us an opportunity to act as an instrument for Krishna, fulfill Krishna's desire to help them come back to the spiritual world. So they give us an opportunity to serve Krishna and the pure devotees in our disciple succession by fulfilling their mission of helping to elevate others back to the spiritual world. So everyone is actually our friend, giving us an opportunity to revive our relation with Krishna, and that's all we're trying to do. There's no winners or losers in the material world, in Krishna consciousness at least. There's only advancement in devotional service. Anyone who thinks they've won something in the material world or they lost some in the material world, although that may be true externally, it has nothing to do with our actual goal of life. One could be extremely opulent and in Maya, and one could be extremely poor and in Krishna consciousness. That's in our scriptures, we have that. And one could be extremely rich and be Krishna conscious, like Sudama Brahman, or extremely poor, like Kolavekar Sridhar. So our aim is not to get rich or poor, strong or weak. Our aim is to revive a relationship with Krishna. And anyone who's doing that, we should at least honor within our mind. There's no room for enviousness, for frustration or irritation or criticism. There's only room for service to help those who are less experienced than we are revive their relationship with Krishna, those who are on the equal level to assist each other, and those who are on a higher level to try to help or try to take help from them by their experience and example and instructions so we can come closer to Krishna. So everything is an opportunity, especially association with devotees, to make spiritual advancement. And if we learn the art and techniques of doing it, then our relationship with Krishna will be revived very quickly. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Okay, thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask about envy. When you mentioned that there is no place for envy. So if we see that we become envious, so what can we do in such times not to act on this feeling? That this feeling would go away?
Go outside and scream somewhere. Well, we have to see things properly. If we think someone is, for instance, just imagine you don't have a car. Do you have a car? You do have a car. Oh, then you have to imagine you don't have a car. So imagine you don't have a car and someone has five cars. And they're all paid for. Is your car paid for? But your mother's paying for it.
Yeah. Right.
Has she paid for it completely so far? She did. Okay. But imagine someone has five Rolls Royces and you feel envious. Now, if you look at it, why are you envious if someone has five Rolls Royces? Now, your mother is paying for the car. But imagine if you had to pay for the car. Imagine if you had to pay for five Rolls Royces, how much work we would have to do. And then think about the insurance you have to pay for. And then you have to clean them and maintain them and protect them. Someone may steal them, someone may hit them, etc. They grow old. And you just lament, oh, my Rolls Royce, it's growing old. It may stop working and die soon. One car is enough anxiety and problems. But if you have five cars, you have five times more problems. But we look at it from the point of view that someone has more than we do, and therefore I wish we had as much as they have. But we don't think about how many problems they get from having these things. We have one car, we have problems. But if we have five cars, we have five times more problems. Similarly, if you have $1 billion, you have a lot of problems. And if you have $100 billion, you have 100 times more problems. And if you have nothing, you may have problems too. But you probably have less problems than the person who has $100 billion. Because if you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to worry about. As long as you get, Krishna will provide with what we need. Therefore, sometimes we're envious to people, but we don't really understand what the consequences if we took their place. Envious means that we'd like them to. We'd like to take their place. We'd like to be them. But we don't understand how many problems it might be if we become them. On the other hand, if someone's Krishna conscious and we're envious of them, well, that's not very good, but at least we're envious of the right person. And therefore, if we try to take their place, that will be good. If we try to become like them, then that's actually favorable. I remember distributing books, and sometimes in the airport, I was distributing books with the devotees who were the top in the world at that time. They were the number one to five best book distributors in the world. So when I saw them about to distribute a book, I get envious because we had a big competition going on. And then they distributed the book, and I felt envy. But then, because of that desire to distribute a book, Krishna would send someone. I distributed a book too. So everything works. Krishna senses our desire and reciprocates. So if you develop a desire to do devotional service, such as book distribution or any other service, then Krishna notes it and he gives us an opportunity to do that service. Because we shouldn't become maliciously envious of a devotee. Not that we see someone about to distribute a book and we go up to the devotee, to the person they're about to distribute the book to. We say, don't take the book, he's part of a cult. No, we don't become that kind of envious. But we develop the desire to do what he's doing. So that's auspicious. So there's one sense in the spiritual world, there's also that kind of enviousness that Rukmini is serving Krishna so nicely and Satyabhama becomes a little envious. I wish I could serve Krishna so nicely too. So that way her devotional service increases too. But it's not malicious. She doesn't set fire to Rukmini's palace because she thinks that she's a competitor. No, she appreciates how nicely Krishna is being served by Rukmini and wants to do more service. Just like Rukmini got the Parijata flower in her palace, so Rukmini became envious and wanted a Parijata flower too. So Krishna took Rukmini to get a Parijata flower from the heavenly planets and gave her the whole tree so she could use it in Krishna's service. Anything else? Yes.
Worse than jealousy?
What's the difference between enviousness and jealousy? Yeah. If you're jealous of someone, are you envious of them?
Not necessarily.
No, you can be jealous of someone and not be envious?
I think so.
In what way? Just like you see someone as you're a man, you see someone as a beautiful girl, and you're jealous of the man because he has something that you don't have. Generally, jealousy is there because you have something. Someone has something that you don't have. So, in one sense, you're envious because you see that you're envious. You want to have what he has. So, in one sense, jealousy and enviousness can be the same thing. And you can be envious of someone and not be jealous of them. In one sense, someone may be lesser than you, but they may be trying to get what you have, and you become envious of them. So that way you're not jealous, but you're envious. But sometimes jealousy and enviousness are the same.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
I have a question, which is a bit extraordinary. I feel I'm not envious anymore since I practice this Krishna consciousness, but there are people around me who I feel that they are envious because they see me so calm and so serene, and that when I tell them that there's a path when they can reach that state too, they say it's funny and it's something that it's not okay. So how can I persuade them that this is okay, that I am the case?
Give them some prasadam.
Okay, thank you.
That way at least it'll become a little calm. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Good. So let's stop there. Grantarai Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.